There's a sense of guilt attached to whether you're working for someone or for yourself or whatever else it is, right? It's like there's a sense of guilt attached to taking time away. That's what you started doing this shit for.
Hey guys, welcome to Never Settle Radio Podcast. Chris Morrison, Chris Goffert here again today too. What we're going to be speaking about is solving the problem that we've had either team members or clients come up to us asking, hey, what does it look like when I'm making 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 grand a month or whatever else it is? I might be a bit stressed right now. Maybe I'm just feeling overwhelmed, feeling like there's nothing but work that I'm doing, feeling a little bit disconnected and feeling in that rat race, the monotony and all sort of stuff as well. I think that the reason that we got in... indigestion.
Yeah. The reason we got indigestion?
The reason that we got into this was to get out of that feeling, right? To be fair. And I think that there needs to be either strategies or hacks to be able to... I was chatting with a friend yesterday, Kyrie. There needs to be on times, off times as well, right? And I think that it's totally okay for you to have sprints where it's hugely on. And I think it's also okay to have periods of rest at the same time too, daily and scheduled for longer periods of time at the same time too, because scheduled rest is a real fucking thing, especially like the A types like you and I who just fucking keep going. Right? We just won't stop, right? And I think that I'm definitely not like a 10 out of 10 master on this, but you know, I've been able to sustain for this long, and there's this definitely days where I want to throw my fucking computer out the window, but I think that's normal.
If it's not, you're probably not pushing.
I feel like that's normal. But yeah, like we had a rep come to us just recently who was asking, like, what does it look like when I hit 20 grand a month in commissions? I'm like, kind of the same. What makes you ask the question though?
Just on that too, one of Chris's favorite questions is, what makes you ask that question?
Yeah.
So anyone working with us, anyone that comes to any of our events, any question that you ask, just be prepared because Chris will ask that question. That what makes you ask that question?
Well, 9 times out of 10, it's because that's not what they're looking for an answer for, right? They're like, what's the meaning behind the question is always helpful. I'm like, bro, fucking sales 101.
Why is that? Why is that important?
Yeah, we had a rep come to us and he was asking, like, fuck, you know, what does it look like when I get to 20K a month or whatever else that it is? And not far off too, right? The dude's making probably average of like 9 to 12 in between that now as well.
He's on his way to death.
Yeah, totally. But like, I think the consideration was like, is it just more of the same and more work, right? And interestingly enough, I think that when you understand a couple of different things like leverage, and I think there's a hockey stick at some point too, when after a certain period of doing the right work, not just work in general, you have the privilege of being able to see the fruits of things coming at the same time too. But yeah, it doesn't have to look the same at all times. I think that there needs to be a level of sustainability because you need to look after yourself, and there needs to be a level of, I don't know, I think that a part of it sometimes too is because I've had this question from every client who's had their first break. They're always like, if I stop, will I be able to get my momentum back, right? Yeah, what are your thoughts on the whole resting and management of energy thing at the same time too?
Yeah, I think management of energy is probably the important point here. So I guess the irony in this, yeah, I'm probably one of the reasons that we're talking about it is we're kind of at that point because we're in the grind at the moment. And I think there's definitely periods where there's sprints or surges. And what I like to call it is sprint to sustain. So there's, in business, there'll always be periods where momentum kicks. And my advice is, if you've got momentum, keep running with it. You don't want it to slow down because it inevitably is going to. But I think it's super important that while you've got momentum, keep rolling with it. But there's also got to come a point where you look after your energy levels. one of the key things, like one of the things that I have focused on really heavily over the, probably the last 2 or 3 months is actually prioritizing my sleep. I am notorious for, oh, I'm really tired, but then going to bed at 11 o'clock and getting up at 4:45 in the morning and just not getting enough sleep. So making an effort to get to bed a little earlier, you know, to the point where I've even been sleeping in and getting up at 6 o'clock, right? Which for some people is like, how's that a sleep in for someone who gets 4:45 normally? That is. But, you know, one of the key things is day to day, managing your energy and looking after yourself to make sure that you're getting enough rest. Because tired people tend not to be very productive.
Not for a long time. You might be for a short period of time, but not for a long time. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I think that that's one of the first things. But by and large, you know, identifying that there's going to come times where you're going to sleep, where we're kind of in that moment with where we increase the size of our team, obviously. So there's a bit of sprint involved in that. But I would anticipate that sprint will last somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks. And it's not that we take our foot off the gaps. It's that we look at where we're at in that 6-week period and go, cool, have we got the opportunity here to take a breath?
It can definitely feel like you're going from big task to big task to big task to big task. Like, I've definitely felt like that. And I, truth be told, I'm kind of a little bit like that right now, right? Like, getting set and prepped to bring you in, then the setters in, then fucking VSL, trying to organize travel, trying to organize all these different things at the same time, too. Moving house.
Yeah, if there's something.
You... Fuck, apparently we're getting married.
Married.
But yes. So, like, it's been thing to think. And shout out to Michelle. Right, like she'll be selling hours at consulting for $1,500 an hour on how she actually did a whole wedding planning in 8 days. That's fucking wild.
Well, I have to say that's the next product. Get married and do it at breakneck speed. We've got you. Good going.
Something that's really helped me though, right, is I have a daily habit on a daily basis of I put a post out about this the other day too. Like I'm convinced Grant Cardone was right. Right, like writing your goals down twice a day definitely gives you energy. Right. But sometimes it can give you so much energy that you fucking get into a burnt hole at the same time too. And I've found that two things really help with that. It's like my morning questions are like gratitude, just what am I grateful for right now? And like one of the things that I'll probably end up saying that I'm grateful for today or tomorrow is that I got to have human interaction today. Like legitimately, that's not a joke, right? Because I think we were just chatting about this too, right? When you're always behind the Zoom or Google Meet screen, you lack energy and connection sometimes as well. But like starts with gratitude, so I'm always like looking for, it's actually Brad Lear, right? That dude fucking was suggesting that it's not just gratitude, but like look for where you feel like you're actually lucky. Like where are you lucky?
As I was saying, like Brad Lear is always saying that you should consider yourself, instead of looking for gratitude, like look for where you're lucky. And one of the things that I think that I'll really look back on today and say, fuck, I was really lucky for that, is not throwing my fucking cameras at a wall. Because
yeah.
I'm lucky that I had patience. I'm lucky for all those things that came about here. I'm stable at the same time too.
I was going to say, I think that I'm here probably stopped you, but then I thought about it and I was like,
no, we lived together. No.
I don't think it would stop it.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that was ever going to be a contributing factor to me not throwing a fucking thing at the wall.
I just sit here.
So yeah, there's the managing your energy in terms of like looking at where all the areas where you are lucky. Because in my opinion, right, one of the biggest reasons why people get to a level of burnout is because they're not looking at the micro wins that happen on a daily basis as well, right? Like you need to be looking for evidence of progress. And if you can't see the evidence of progress, because like if your only marker of progress is I made 100 grand this month,
yeah,
right? Like that's going to be real tough for you, right? Like, you know, with the new team, even with clients and even with everything that happened, it's like we have to be looking at the micro every day and work out where is the progress. So it's that, and then there's the questions like, cool, where could I have been better today, but what would make tomorrow better at the same time too, right? Like the self-assessment of those manages my energies really well. But one thing that I do that really helps me tune out or off, and this is a daily, not the long-term reset or reboot, is you know, we talk about it with our clients, with our team, you know, with the new setters, you're talking about the lid closing scroll that I've installed the idea of, right? I do it at the end of the day, not just for sales activities, fucking everything. How do I close the loop so I can go and turn off the computer and it be done for the day?
Yeah.
and I can do mindless dumb shit and be. So that's most my day.
Glad you said it.
But it's mindless dumb shit that's created based off a. I know I've achieved what was necessarily needed and done today, and I could look back, even if there wasn't a monumental fucking like wow factor for the day. It was like, where was the progress?
Yeah.
Right? Where was it today? And I think that there's a lot of burnout that comes because people aren't looking at those micro progresses. And it also stops them from wanting to win all the turns.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the macro comes from the micro. So, you know, if you're, and this was the conversation that I had with the boys today, and it kind of ties back to the previous podcast we did on KPIs. One of the conversations that I had with the setting team this morning was around OKRs and KPIs. So the OKRs being the objectives and key results, the big things, I guess. But the KPIs are the activities that are required to achieve the OKRs. So without those KPIs, it's really hard to achieve those OKRs. Try saying that a lot of times really fast.
A lot of that really comes fast.
So when you focus on the activities, right, you celebrate the fact that, you know, our team has a KPI of how much outreach they've got to do, how many conversations they have to engage in, how many triage offers, how many triage calls, so on and so forth. So those micro wins, they need to be celebrated. And that's why we obviously highlight them. Guys will send their end of day report. We'll congratulate them on, yes, you did all the activities. By the same token though, they've got to be always looking at the OKRs. And, you know, I shared my vision board with the team and showed them some of the stuff from my vision board last year, which was the car that I wanted to buy, which I ended up buying. My dog, which I now have. So those things, you know, albeit material stuff, they still represented to me there was a level of work that went into achieving those things and being able to enjoy those things. So I celebrated the micro wins along the way, which then gave me the macro wins. So if your only metric is I did 100 grand this month, and you're not celebrating the daily things that you've got to do, it gets real fucking hard.
I've spoken about this with Farris a lot, because we use it as a frame for clients, which is like, if I see a client, because like, so like, have you heard me talk about my two goal series?
Yep.
Okay. So for anyone who doesn't know what the two goal series, I don't think you should do anything without it leading toward something else. So as an example, if you're an offerer or a business owner who does appointment setting, you should only be doing it with the intent of validating a process and using it to create a playbook of all the things that you would need to have to get an appointment set to come in and actually be able to follow your process that has proven evidence and stacked galore, so they can follow the playbook and run to the hills with to help set appointments up for you, right? Two goals. Goal number one is set appointments to set the thing up. Goal number two is to be able to have someone come in after you and do that at the same time as well, right? And I think that applies on a daily basis too, right? Where like, if you aren't looking at the fruits of what that might bring, the thing that I talk about with Farris, like if I hear someone who's saying that they're like in a valley of some sort, right? It's because they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? If they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, which may just be, it's a reminder, a metaphor, whatever it might be. If they can't see that, they will fucking stay declined until something happens. This is where people fall into shiny object syndrome, because they see the thing that gives them a feeling where there might be a sense of new hope,
yep,
right? Because of a new opportunity or whatever it might be. When in reality, all they needed to be reminded was like, oh, we're heading toward that. That's what it's meant to be, right?
I actually saw a clip on YouTube, on Instagram this morning. And in order to be great at something, you first got to suck. And in order to suck, you've got to suck real bad. If you're an offer owner, business owner, whatever, you're going to suck at some point. When you go and chase the shiny ball, the shiny ball syndrome, and you're like, oh, this is the thing, quite often it's not the thing. It's a distraction from the thing that you actually should be doing to get out of the rut that you found yourself in, or the valley that you found yourself in. Often when I speak to people that are like, oh, sales are down, they'll blame everything but their process. Most of the time they don't have a very good process to start with, or they don't have a process at all. But they're often sitting there, sitting in despair going, this sucks, I suck. And they're not prepared to work their way out of the suck. So they'll pivot. They'll have a business pivot. Oh, I've pivoted to this. Every time I hear someone's pivoted, I'm like, that's because you couldn't drag yourself out of a rut that you'd found yourself in. The upsetting thing for me is a lot of the time they've actually done really well in that thing and they've just gone off their own process.
I fucking see it as well.
That's right. And, you know, and we've seen this with our own clients where we've, you know, and Faris as well, he's looked at a client's business or we've looked at a client's business and it's like, oh, business is well down. It's like, why is it down? When did that change? Oh, well, we did this, we did that. And it's like, cool. Why did you do that though? Oh, well, we wanted to optimize this. And it's like, but you were already fucking optimized. You were already kicking goals and then you become distracted. And that distraction has now taken you from $30,000 and $40,000 a month to six. And you're sitting there going, I need to do a whole new fucking offer. No, you don't. Just go back to what was working.
In many cases, yeah.
And the reason that is because, again, going back to the micro and macro, they had one bad month and thought they needed to change when what needed to happen was they actually needed to get back to what was working, you know. So anyway, we digress. I think that, you know, in the interest of looking after oneself and really maximizing your potential, I think that the plans always need to be, you know, we talk about vision, mission and values a lot, and you know, in order to look after oneself and manage one's energy, you've always got to be focused on the vision, you know. And I brought this up with the boys today and I said, you know, like, do you know why we do this? Like, what are we actually trying to accomplish? And I said, this is the vision for us, but then we break it down into the mission. And then the values represent the activities of the person we've got to be. And I spoke a little bit about
driving behaviors behind.
Yeah. And, you know, I sent a message out to the team last night our time, and spoke about, you know, the goals. And then you obviously jumped in and, you know, brought up the who do you need to be to do that. And then the conversation flowed into this morning's meeting around when you're looking at who you need to be, then you need to look at what type of activities does that person do. So, you know, we are in a sprint at the moment, but there's also, you know, like you obviously went away on the weekend, spent a few days away, and, you know, Chris's famous staycations for those of you following.
Spacecation, this one was the space, I guess, in the space. Yeah, but isolation and the spacecation. Yeah, the spacecation.
So I think it's super important that, you know, there is switch off times. Like, you know, at the moment in Australia, where moving into winter, it's rugby league season. I'm a rugby league tragic. I watch a lot of football. It's kind of my escapism, you know, and it's something I do with my eldest son. Yeah, you know, we'll go and watch the footy. But it's literally like, don't fucking bother me. Like, and I kind of like the fact that when we go to the stadiums, like, phone reception in Australia is pretty good. But if you go somewhere and there's more than like 6,000 people,
oh, it's cool.
You ain't sending the fucking text message. But I kind of like it because it keeps me in that present moment. So, you know, for me, that is one of the switch off things. My training not every night, but I train 5 nights a week and I deliberately do it at night. Like, some people like to train in the day. I like to train at night because it's how I wrap
up. Your switch off thing?
That's right. It's kind of the cutoff switch. And like, to be fair, last night I went back home, had dinner, and then I did some more work stuff, but it's because I'd committed to doing that work. So there's also I made a commitment.
And a public, you made a public commitment to the rest of the team as well.
And that's exactly right. So it's my responsibility also to lead by example. But once I had done what I said I was going to do, I shut off and I watched Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's actually not a bad movie. I was quite surprised. But that was, again, my switch off. But I think, you know, when it comes to, and when we're talking about salespeople, we're actually talking about business owners. Every business owner is a fucking salesperson, whether they like it or not. If you've got no sales, you have no business. So when we're talking about this in the sales context, please, as business owners or offer owners, don't think that this doesn't apply to you. It absolutely applies to you. But it is imperative that you identify the times to sprint, but then when it comes to the stabilization period, what are you going to do to rest, recover, and go again?
Yep. I can get better at this, but I've done it pretty religiously for the past couple of years. It came from a marriage mentor or a relationship mentor. It wasn't a personal mentor. And clearly, prior to which I would fuck up relationships. But
hi to all Chris's exes. He's sorry.
And it was the 7-7-7 method, which is like every 7 days you're sleeping yourself. Or like in the relationship world, it's like every 7 days have a day. Every 7 weeks have 2 nights away. And every 7 months have a week away.
Yep.
Right? But the premise behind that is like one, connection time, right? So what purpose that might serve. And number two is something to look forward to that's scheduled,
yep,
that you actually have that is a light at the end of the tunnel. If it's every 7 weeks, that's a sprint.
Yep.
Right? You now get a week or a 3-day weekend or whatever else it is to chill after a sprint. And then every 7 days you get a breath of fresh air every 7 days at the same time as well, right? Like Carl was saying, like, yeah, fuck. What he asked the question for is like, hey guys, I got this jet ski. I want to go use the jet ski. I'm like, who the fuck said you can't use the jet ski, bro? Tell me this shit. Let's get you 2 days off every, like, of normal fucking,
yep,
months working, just like in what you would normally do in 20 days. How do we do it in 18?
Yep.
Right? And I think there's a sense of, and this is, I know I've experienced this, but there's a sense of guilt.
Yep.
Attached to whether you're working for something or for yourself or whatever else it is, right? It's like there's a sense of guilt attached to taking time away, and that's what you started doing this shit for, so you can have that time away, right? But I think that it needs to be scheduled first, yep, right? As you showed up here, I was actually scheduling that stuff, right? Like for you, me, and Faris, and then for some of the partners that we want to get rid of. Like I'm trying to organize dinners for here, for the USA, for all these different things, not because obviously there's going to be like a benefit to it, but like, because it gives me something to fucking look forward to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'd love to go and have an epic dinner, have some drinks, actually enjoy some of what we're doing. And it's just like, if, like, no one's going to do that for us.
Yeah.
Like, we'd have to schedule that shit ourselves.
Mm.
Absolutely. I think as well, like, the you, me, and Faris thing, the outside looking in, that does look like a business thing, but there's also, you know, if we're going out for dinner, then we're going out for dinner. It is switch off time. It is, you know, fuck around and have a laugh and, you know, enjoy each other's company. You know, I guess the benefit that I think you and I have, and, you know, Faris from across the pond, so to speak, is, yeah, very big pond, more a lake than a pond. But, you know, socially, we all get on as well. Like, teams, some teams, you know, which again is fine, they're not friends outside of work, but I think at the same time, like you and I, we've gone, like we went to Jeremy Piven last week, we, you know, we've been to football together, and, you know, Chris is not much of a footy fan, but he's still come to games, and, you know, so State of Origin, fuck, remember that, how good was that? With Michelle and Jeremiah was just like, what the hell
is going on?
Like, there was 80,000 people at this game, but, you know, doing those things, you know, and these are literally momentary things. Like, they're not big, extravagant. It's like going out for dinner, you know, and just switching off for a little bit, but still switching off with people that we obviously run a business together. And, you know, but I think the energy management side of that is, you know, it allows you to recharge together as well a little bit. And, you know, we are organizing some stuff, obviously. You know, we've got some events coming up, which gives us a really good opportunity for everyone to get together. We've got Kyle coming over as well, which will be
cool.
You know, so even us organizing, you know, like, I want to take those boys to a football game and have them go.
We went to a whiff house, actually. Yeah, that was for my birthday, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, and Faris was tripping out big time. He's like, what the fuck is this? And it was a great game of football that he went to, too. But, you know, having them experience Australian culture, but also, you know, gives us a time to have a bit of a laugh, bit of fun together. But I think that, you know, that guilt thing is very real. Most people that go and start their business and become entrepreneurs do so with the intent because, oh, you know, I want to work for myself so then I can work the hours I want. And then they end up working more hours for themselves than they do for, you know, working a regular 9-to-5. And, you know, this is something that I've got a lot of experience in working with business owners across a variety of industries. The reason that tends to happen, firstly, is they don't have the systems in place to bring team on. Secondly, you know, when they do bring team on and don't have the systems, it's really hard to find good people. They blame the people and not themselves. A little bit of a productivity hack for, this is more so for the business owners, is as you grow and scale your business so you can have that little bit of extra time, It's about having really good fucking systems, plug the people into.
It's a prerequisite.
And unless you're prepared to make the time to do that, and that can be in one of those sprint stages where it's like, I'm just going to put my head down for the next 7 weeks and build out the sales system. What, you know, from where do I find lead gen into when a lead comes into our pipeline?
These are the steps that we take them through. This is how we sort of take a lead to becoming a client. And mapping that entire journey, mapping what the conversations look like at each stage, literally laying the whole thing out. Like with our sitters, like we've got guys that have come in, they're experienced, but it's like, don't overthink this. Mm-hmm. Like, just follow the process. It's proven. It's literally set thousands of sales calls.
Listening to the podcast that we did on APIs, all of those guys have started. A lot of the guys who have started have already had closed sets in their first year, like all kind of stuff as well. We've had one guy drop off, and the reason he dropped off was because he wasn't probably in the fucking process. Like, the process is goaded, right? Like, it works. Yeah, so, like...
It's designed to make it more simple. I don't want to say easy, but more simple. Follow the process, and...
It takes some of the energy management out of your fucking head.
Yep.
Less mental calories that you have to use if you just follow the thing that fucking works.
It's interesting you bring up calories. The number one activity for calorie burning is actually thinking.
No, I know that.
And this is a scientific thing. This isn't a Chris, you know, pontificating. This is actual real scientific stuff. So your brain burns more calories than any other function, your operating brain, than anything else. So the more you're thinking, you're burning more calories, but you're also burning more energy.
So many calories, man.
That's why we're shredded.
Fucking gross.
So... You know, you've got to be looking at, you know, if you've got a really good system, you're not going to be using as much energy, which then makes it easier for you to manage greater tasks. So anyway, I digress a little bit.
No, two other things that you mentioned. Like, I think a prerequisite to energy management in many cases is actually something you suggested before, which is vision, right? Because in order for you to manage that energy, I think that there needs to be a North Star for yourself, right? Because you can do the sprint and have that break and still be able to get back in there and do it again if you have something that you're working towards. And something that you suggested earlier was like, you've always had the visual, right? Never had it, right? But I'll write the same thing down twice a day. So we're like 3 days into the year, which means I've written my goals at least 250 times, right? At least, bare minimum. They're ingrained. Like, I can tell you, for goal 1 to 10, I can rally them off one by one. I had that whiteboard thing at Mo's house.
Yep.
She's like, oh, I fucking accidentally, scribbled it off. I'm like, you mean set up a 1, number 2? Number 3, she's like, oh, I'm like, yeah, I can fucking rattle that shit off back to front.
Yeah.
But the point in suggesting that is, like, I'm so clear on that, that, like, as long as I... do my checkpoints just like, hey, where did we progress on that today? Where I can do this? Like, I can have the privilege of being able to say, I deserve some time off. As long as I play full out in that period of time as well, right? Like, think about sporting teams again too, right? Like, they have fucking scheduled rest, right?
Michael Jordan was famous for, before a game, he would go and play a round of 18 holes of golf. Before every game. So... And because that was his downtime. That's where he could switch off and not have to think about, you know, who they were playing that night or how many points he was going to score. But he would literally go and play a round of golf. And then he'd go out and destroy people.
Yeah, literally.
Including his own teammates.
So I think, like, managing the burnout, it sort of comes down to, you have to have something to look forward to, firstly. And you have to pre-schedule things that actually light you up. The other thing is having hard switch-off times. They can be broken sometimes.
Yeah.
In seasons, they can be broken at the same time as well. Like I'm a rule, right? Like, don't fucking stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
Get your 3 offers. Like, if it's a public center, right?
Yeah.
If it's a sales rep, make sure you ask someone to become a fucking client today, right?
Yeah.
If it's a both of those functions are well with clients at the same time too, right? People take it to the extreme. Because they're like, oh, it's 11 p.m. But they're like, because you fucking do it at 3 p.m.
Yeah,
that's why, right? Like,
it's interesting, actually, you bring that up. One of our setters, we had our meeting this morning, Australian time, at 8:30 in the morning. And one of the guys had already had 3 offers out.
Yep.
And I was like, dude, you've got three out now. You can comfortably get to five.
Sure.
So although he had hit the bare minimum, it's also, you've hit the bare minimum. It doesn't mean that you stop, right? But at least you can take that little bit of a breath to realize, all right, I've hit my bare minimum, but now what can I do to hit the goal? Because the activity is not the goal. The activity is the activity. It needs to drive you towards the goal. But by the same token, he can wrap up at the end of the day and go put his fucking feet up and know that he left it on the court today.
100%. I think something else to address here too, right, is a part of the burnout can come from doing things that you don't like doing,
yeah.
Right? I think that the two goals theory that I spoke about before really fucking helps with that.
Yeah.
Because if you can realize that the actual task that you're doing is being done to intentionally build a system that has someone be able to walk in behind you and take over that task if done effectively or well, it gives it a new energy again. And it only ends up becoming an issue when you don't follow through on that, right? And you don't build the revenue to be able to hire someone behind you, whatever it might be, and that sense at the same time too. Sales reps, if they want, they can hire virtual assistants to help support them in half the administration stuff that they're doing at the same time. Like, no one is saying that's off limits, right? You can kind of half the admin shit you do on a daily basis. So that makes it more enjoyable because you always feel like you're progressing. If you think about the two goals theory in that context, you always feel like you're progressing. It's like, I'm doing this and I know what it's getting me towards.
Yep.
I'm able to, like, I'm behaving myself out of a task long term, right? And I'm creating the playbook for someone to be able to come in after me at the same time too. As a closer or a setter too, right? Like, if you're a closer, documenting your setting process really well when you were a setter to actually be able to get the setters who were in your team after that to be able to help set you up for more closures is a beautiful fucking thing at the same time too, right? But something that I don't think we touched on that I thought would be really helpful here too is the, you brought up that, you know, we talk about you being fast and might be business, blah, blah, blah. My request to both of you guys for when I said, hey, we should do this is like, I kind of just want to work with people I want to work with, right? I think that plays a huge contributing factor too, right? Like, we fuck around,
if people heard our conversations on the phone, we call each other. I think most people would be horrified.
Absolutely. but it's because there's a couple of edits to it, right? Like, we genuinely get along and I really enjoy your company. I don't get why, but I do.
That took over 10 years to get there.
It could be a big fucking idea.
Taking a bit of work.
There's a mutual respect of, like, we both know that if things were to happen that we'd throw it down, but we also both know that on the other side of that, there's a level of trust that, like, I think that if I were to call a 3M, you'd be there. And if I think if you call a 3M, then I'd fucking be there too, right?
I'd have to double dial you, though, because you've got do not disturb, so.
Just double dial and be there for that. That's a function that I think that many people may not consider sometimes too.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is something you don't get when you do things by yourself as well, right? Like, I never wanted to do this alone, right? And I think that that's a...
I know, it took 2 years for me to get here.
I'm here, but I never wanted to do it alone, right? Like, I always had the intent of wanting to build with the intent of doing cool things with great people, right? Some of the burnout sometimes can be doing cool things with the wrong people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that could suck you out.
Oh, badly. It's like when you were growing up, you always had that friend that your parents were like, you know,
shouldn't hang out with him.
Yeah. Sometimes you were that friend. You know, when you hang around the wrong crowd, right? There's a lesson in this that our parents taught us but didn't mean to teach it this way. Don't hang around the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd is, you know, as you grow up, is people that you don't have an alignment of values for a start.
Yeah. I think that's a huge...
Yeah. And I also think that people that your energies just don't match, you know, like, we're all different people. And we had this conversation actually, and I've had this conversation a few times with Chris about our team and how different everybody is. Yet, you know, like, Chris and I are probably, it's funny, like, we're both extroverted introverts. Like, when we're in our comfort zone, we're very extroverted, but you know, we can also be very introverted. We need our fucking time out and our time alone.
Is that ambivert?
No, it's not.
The ambivert, that's the actual definition of someone who's in between both, who can play both cards and feel very comfortable in both.
Yes, it's an ambivert.
So, but then you look at our team and we've got softly spoken people like Kyle. Kyle's got quite a softly spoken side, but
he has some savage in him too.
Real fucking animal in him as well. But that also is a good thing in that there's a really good balance of energy. I think if you've got too many extroverts, nothing gets done because everyone's just talking over the top of each other. If you've got too many introverts, nobody's saying anything. So I think that we've got a really good balance of energy in the team, but there's a really good value alignment. Like, you know, and when we're hiring for people, one of the key things we talk about is the values. Like, if you're not aligned with this, then this ain't going to work. So I don't care how good you are at the thing. If we're not on the same page, then bro, it's probably just not a fit.
Yeah, it's like integrity is like the number one thing, right? It's like if you say you're going to do something, you don't do it. Like,
yeah, that's hence why I was doing outreach.
Yeah, well, it's like for all of us too. There have been many times where I have had to look at our team in the face and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to, it's not going to look good in your FIP you at your own game right now. Would you have a full 8 hours to do this and I have about an hour and a half?
Yeah.
And if I beat you, what's that say?
Yeah, well but that's the thing. It's, you know, having those little mini challenges, and I sort of threw down with the boys a little bit yesterday, and you know, I don't have the ego that I probably had 10 years ago. I'm cool if they beat me. I kind of want them to beat me. And if they don't, then I'm kind of like, well, as you said, I've got a lot less hours to do this. Like, I don't have just a single function. I've got other shit that needs to happen. And if I kick more goals than you, then you probably need to look at you and go,
it's a problem.
Why is that? How did he get the same volume of outreach in a third of the time that I had?
It may actually not be a problem. It may actually be an opportunity for them to learn out, because that's what was happening with me and with the team too, right? Yeah. Like some of the old team that we had, I would have an out, but one 60-minute block or one 30-minute block to follow up later on.
Yeah.
So like I would have whatever activity that I would do, then a 30-minute block later, I would have four things booked in that time in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
They're like, how the fuck didn't you do that? They're like, I know what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, there is a skill component to it, obviously.
Stop fucking with your energy, right? I think that the big thing here, like big takeaways are like always have something to look forward to. Always have a loop closing to your day in some way, shape and form. Like make sure that you do have the ability to close a loop that you don't. So you're not fucking always on, if that makes sense. I think that doing things with the right people makes a huge fucking difference.
Yeah.
Huge difference. And then last of the two goals here, for me, it is a shield. Was there anything else?
Just the always on thing. If you're always on in the business, which while you're in business mode, awesome. But if you're always on there, then you're going to be off in other areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So
fair.
Especially if you've got a family. If you're always on in business, then you're probably off for your family.
Mm-hmm.
And as a man who has been married and divorced, I can tell you now, that was one of it was contributed to the demise of my marriage. So I can speak from genuine experience, because I was always on. It ended up resulting in a pretty bad situation. So make sure you got a hard stop to the day and then go be on for your family.
And on your on times, hunt. Like, whatever your tasks are, fucking be a savage about it. Don't fuck around. Like that's a contributing thing too, right?
Absolutely.
Anyway, guys, thank you.
Thank you. The battery's died.
Yeah, battery's gone, blah, 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 right? Like, if any of this resonates, reach out, let us know. If it will help you out to get your existing team performance reviewed or your existing sales process reviewed or whatever else that it is. Reach out. There'll be a link below to either Minister Group or to actually click in to chat at the same time, or just reach out to me on Facebook. We're happy to chat with you guys there too. Other than that, guys, thanks for listening to our absolutely fucking chaotic 6-camera breakdown fucking mental issue of a podcast episode today.
We've got more cameras than Spielberg and only one's working now.
Let's just hope that any of the audio worked. Peace.